Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today. A little more with Kathy Simmons, the Chief Veterinary Officer of NCBA, after this. The annual Spring Bull Sale of Express Ranch is coming up Friday, March 1st at the ranch, Yukon, Oklahoma. They'll be selling 550 bulls starting at 10 a.m., highlighted by the Express Ranch's 2013 National Western Grand Champion Carload, Grand Champion Pen, and Reserve Grand Champion Pen Bulls. For more information, you can contact Express Ranches by going to their website, www.expressranches.com, or call them 800-664-3977.
Ranchers, this calving season, get your newborn calves off to a strong start with an injection of Vitally Newborn from Stewart Products. Vitally Newborn can prevent deficiencies of fat-soluble vitamins, especially vitamin E, that has been shown to help prevent weak calf syndrome and calf scours. Ask your veterinarian or animal health supplier about Vitally Newborn from Stewart Products or check them out online at stewartproducts.com. That's STURT products.com.
ADT, Animal Disease Traceback, a system being rolled out by Uncle Sam. Dr. Kathy Simmons, Chief Veterinary Officer at NCBA, helps us drill down into what ADT is all about.
The final rule for animal disease traceability, and that is the movement of animals interstate, was issued by USDA APHIS on January 9th. That rule will be implemented on March 11th. In the rule, it states that livestock of the species listed in the rule, and cattle are certainly among those species that are moved interstate, must have official identification and must have accompanying documentation, which would be an interstate certificate of veterinary inspection or an other movement document that is approved by the state or tribes. What we're hoping to do with this rule, have a system to trace back disease to the origin. This allows us in our disease investigations to deal with smaller numbers of animals. It allows us to have a more efficient trace back system, which in the end saves dollars to the producer and to the government agencies that serve the producer.
Is this going to be a system that will allow us quick enough response to particularly a contagious disease to do us some good?
Well, that's certainly our hope, Ron. Right now, we are in the process of setting this up. Right now, we do not have feeder cattle or cattle under 18 months of age under this rule. There will be a separate rulemaking process for these animals. So I think right now what we are doing is we are setting the framework so that we can have that kind of a response, so that we can also compete internationally by saying to other countries, yes, we do, please have the reassurance we can trace back disease.
Now, that point about the global market, this is one of the drivers of this particular animal disease trace back movement, the effort to get this done, right?
It's one of the drivers. That's right. There are a number of reasons. I think the primary reason is to trace back disease and to protect our herds. I think one of the benefits, as we term it, of this system is that it does give us reassurance to our global partners in the global market, and that we can trace back disease and that we are on par with the rest of the world in doing that.
When you mentioned the 18-month of age animals and younger, what was the thought process of separating them out on this first set of rules?
I think we did that and we advocated for that because this is a fairly large population of animals in the scheme of movement, and we wanted to learn from our initial efforts and do it right. It will allow us to establish performance thresholds that we can use when we introduce this group of animals in. They are not covered under the official identification portion of it, which means that the official identification of these animals is not currently required under the rule. Many of these animals are already identified, as you well know, through other systems that we have in place. So I think it's not so much that we have a deficit there. It's that we are bringing everybody up to the federal guidelines in a stepwise fashion rather than all at once.
Do you foresee that? I mean, really, as you mentioned, we've got other programs, the various preconditioning type programs that offer some identification for a lot of these animals. Do you see that almost precluding the need for much of a national, federal effort?
We're hoping to integrate into these systems. The flexibility is there under the USDA framework for the states and tribes to integrate some of these systems into their systems. I think the important thing is that we have a database that everybody can access, that USDA can ping that database when they need their information, and I think that would be their chief concern in the integration process.
Price tag on all of this. I mean, who's ultimately going to be paying the bill to try to make all this really work
as you envision it?
Well, I think OMB has put out prices on this that vary from $15 to $30 million as far as, you know, implementation if nobody had anything in place to begin with. But I think we have identification systems in place. It remains to be seen how much money is going to be appropriated through USDA to assist the states in this effort. But many of the states have known this was coming, and they have budgeted it in, and they have been working on it for some time. As I say, this has been sort of a three-year process with the talks have been about this since we had our last effort or attempt at animal identification that did not seem to work out. We've been a little bit more thoughtful and a little bit more stepwise in our approach.
Now, before we ended up with this, we were trying the top-down concept. That was the first thing that was announced by Mr. Vilsack and USDA, what, 2-3 years ago.
That's right. And now we're trying to have a framework that each state can operate under that is more receptive to producer needs and market access.
Chief Veterinary Officer of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Dr. Kathy Simmons. That's your Beef Buzz. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Ron Hayes on the Oklahoma Farm Report.